A lot of time on this, but just one, if you can think of one word or like two or three is all, but what are quality character traits of a good father?
Loving.
All right. Chris.
Present.
All right. Present in your life. Compassionate.
Patient.
Mentor. A mentor.
Servant leader.
Honorable.
Teacher.
Hardworking.
Example.
An example.
Good.
Of good, I hope.
Good.
All right.
Awesome.
They all, everyone be an example of something. Just hope it's the positive things, not the negative.
Sacrificial.
What's that?
Sacrificial.
Anything else? Pop in your head. Thinking about your dad or somebody else's dad. Mary.
Supportive.
Involved. All right, and involved. Good. Heather has her mouth full. She can't answer. Just kidding. I'm just messing with you. All right, John 16. That was all you could come up with. We'll move on. John 16, verse 16 through 19 is where we are at. We're going to try to wrap up through verse 18, 19 this morning. But he says, a little while, and it's on the screen if you can read fine print. A little while and you'll see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is it that he says to us? A little while and you'll not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you were asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. All right, so just kind of review, because some of you weren't here last week. But verse 16, the time or we would probably say more the absence of time, it's very difficult for us to understand outside of time as we know it, the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, because that's how we are programmed. That's how we function. And yet as we try and understand this idea of with how God relates to time, you know, God created the time in which we live and in which we dwell. But and again, from God's perspective, you know, from Scripture, you know, he functions outside of that realm. You know, he says 1,000 years is as a day and a day is as 1,000 years. Yeah, none of us can even really imagine what 1,000 years is. I can't. You know, I think of our country as 40 years old. And it's like, you know, you read the history of it and you think, man, you know, so much has happened in that span. Am I right there? It's because the centennial was 1976. I was in third grade. So,
44.
All right, 44. So I was close. But, you know, I remember when Lauren and I went on her college choir did a trip, and we were over in Budapest. And, you know, learning about the history over there, and just, it was thousands of years of history. And it's just like, you know, they had, you know, all the different monarchs and whatever. And it's just amazing to think of all of that history and all that time that's passed and what it would have been like way back in the very beginning of all of that. And so, but with God, there is no time. You know, he's functioning in a sense outside of that, although he may, you know, obviously he would understand what it is within that as well, that realm. But it's very hard for us to grasp that and understand that. So Jesus is using this phrase, a little while, And he's confusing the disciples. And the key to this is that the disciples didn't understand what he meant. But not just that they didn't understand. What was the other part? They didn't want to ask. You know, they didn't want to ask him, what do you mean by that? You know, whether they were too proud, whether they, you know, didn't want to look like they were stupid or whatever. We talked about different reasons last week, you know, why they might not have asked for clarification, but they chose not to. So they're kind of huddled up, talking amongst themselves, trying to figure it out. And Jesus knows this already. You know, he knows what they're dealing with. He understands where they're going with that. So verses 17 and 18 are highlighting for us the perplexity of the disciples. And the idea that they're just really struggling with understanding what's going on there. So they're asking themselves, they're talking about this. You know, what does he mean by this? You know, what does he mean by this thing of a little while? You know, I'm here and then I'm not, or I'm not and then I am. And, you know, I go to my father. Because, again, they're thinking in a physical realm, right? You know, they're thinking, you know, they know that Joseph was his father. And, you know, most people feel that Joseph had passed by this time because there's nothing mentioned of him. Once Christ, you know, kind of reaches after the temple and in that scenario, that story that we read. So, you know, this is kind of like, you know, what father are you talking about? They're not getting it, you know, that he's talking as a spiritual level here. And so we kind of left off. This is kind of where we left off last week. That conversations like this often go on for some time when we are confused and hurting. You know, and we are pondering those things. We're thinking about them. And we talk to ourselves about them, or we're trying to figure this out. Or maybe we talk to some other people about them. And this anxiety, the confusion, all go together when we're hurting or when we're grieving. And so the two sets kind of mesh and come together. You know, as we are in a period of grief or hurt, often that leads to the confusion. You know, why did it happen? What's causing it? You know, how do I deal with this kind of idea? And so this was your homework from last week. What are some real life examples of how this affects us today? This idea of the grief and the hurt combined with the confusion and the anxiety all kind of lumped together. Yes, Greg.
Losing a parent or a child.
All right, losing a loved one. You know, really, just losing a loved one in general. You know, and it's especially if it's unexpected. You know, I remember, you know, when my dad passed, you know, we knew, you know, he had heart issues and, you know, we knew about it, but he was doing, you know, as far as everyone knew, well, and, you know, we didn't think that, you know, every day was going to be his last day or anything. And then, my mom went to, you know, kissed him goodbye, went to work for the day, comes home, and, you know, he had died of a heart attack laying on the floor in the house. And so, yes, it is that shock that, you know, wish I could have been there. You know, why couldn't I have been there? Why didn't I call the night before? You know, and all those thoughts that go through your mind. You know, it was the day after Labor Day, and it was, you know, I should have gone up for Labor Day. I should have gone to visit, and, you know, I was off. And you know, you beat yourself up with all of those things. And yet you can't go back and change any of it. Yes, Malcolm.
Children, whenever you're sitting and your children going out to the world with them, did I give them everything that they need to know to make it?
Okay, so that the concern and the anxiety of, you know, did I prepare my children well enough to face the world and be successful? And then, you know, and if they fail, what happens? Often we do the same thing. You know, I failed because I didn't prepare them. You know, what could I have done differently? How could I have done something else, or what else can I do now at this point, you know, to, you know, get them on the right track? Yes.
Terminal illness.
You know, in your own self or in someone else, or either or.
Either one.
Okay. So that idea of, you know, I have cancer or whatever, you know, could I have eaten differently or done something differently to avoid all of that? And so we, you know, or we say that about, you know, a loved one or somebody else. Oh, if they just hadn't been a smoker, you know, that wouldn't have happened. And yet, that's not always the case. Anything else? Lauren?
Or
Okay, good. So relationships that just kind of fall apart, and you know, there's you're racking your mind, thinking, you know, what happened? Why, you know, why don't they like me anymore? Or what did I, you know, did I offend them? Did I do something to them? And so we have a tendency to just mull those things over and over and over again. And there's really, we don't come up with a solution. We can, or we should, but often we don't. Anybody think anything else? What about substance abuses? Different types of substance abuse, right? You know, we see that going on. You know, whether it's, you know, whether it's even, you know, emotional abuse or a drug or alcohol, whatever, you can kind of just run the gamut of all those. And, you know, they are cyclical in nature. Did I say that right? Where, you know, often we just, you know, it just goes round and round and round. And, you know, even if a person admits they have a problem, the issue then becomes, do they really want help with that problem? And that's normally the issue is, you know, they say they want the help, but they really don't. Or they want help, but they're not willing to do what it takes to get the victory over it or in it. And so, you know, all these different things, the grieving, the hurting, the confusion, the, you know, where, who can I turn to? Where do I go for the help? You know, how do we overcome that? Yes. So he's talking about just the, you know, total devastation, you know, with hurricanes, tornadoes, just everything's wiped out. You know, especially well, a tornado where, you know, even I don't know how many of you were around when that came, when we had the tornado come through Fayetteville, but literally, you know, I remember driving through Cottonade and, you know, this house was completely gone and the ones on each side were there, you know, and they looked perfect. You know, a couple shingles gone, and you know, and I could imagine, you know, you think, why my house? You know, why did it hit me? You know, I'm better than them. It could have hit their house. You know, could have just shifted, you know, 75 feet and taken their house out, not mine. Kind of idea. Yes, Chris.
I know this is going to sound funny coming from a man, but how about childbirth and postpartum depression?
Okay. Like, yeah. You know, the or even, you know, overcoming different surgeries and illnesses. You know, it wouldn't just have to be childbirth, but all of that. You know, if you've had major surgeries, just trying to figure out, you know, what your limitations are and realizing, okay, I can't do everything I did before. You know, Chris, you just had your knee replaced, what, 6 months ago?
4 months
ago. And I'm sure there's still things that you can't do that you could have done before. You know, and just that idea of, you know, I'm not as strong as I used to be. I can't do all that I used to do.
Aging, yeah.
Yes. And a lot of it's, yeah, not just aging sometimes. You know, we just damage parts of our body and go through that. Yes, the problems that Brian had with his heart and just, you know, all of that. You know, those, if you've had COVID, trying to realize, you know, getting over that and getting back on track. You know, so all these things, these little things, you know, I talked about abuse, maybe even, you know, different affairs, whether it's real or perceived even. You know, but these little things where we try, and sometimes big things too, but we try and avoid the issue by asking our own questions, or the other thing that a lot of people like to do is they twist the conversation away from them and their problem and try to get the focus on the other person. You know, so you confront somebody about, you know, hey, you know, as Lauren, you know, our friendship, you know, we used to be really good friends, and, you know, you don't want anything to do with me, you know, why? And, you know, instead of confronting the problem, often what do people do is they just kind of flip it around and then they put something back on you because they don't want to address the real issue. You know, they don't mind talking behind your back about it and talking to other people about it. But when you're at, and that's kind of what the disciples were doing. You know, they're talking behind Jesus's back. You know, we don't understand what he's talking about. And what does he mean by this? And all, you know, but I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to ask him. You know, he might, you know, really, you know, he might jump on me or he might tell me I'm stupid or whatever. So we'll just talk amongst ourselves about it and not really address the issue. And that's the tendency that we often have as we go through all of the different things that we've mentioned and all these struggles. You know, we might talk to somebody else in generalities about it or complain to somebody else about it, but we don't really ever go to the source to where we can truly get help with the problem that we're facing. And that's what we need to do. That's where we need to go. And so in this passage, these verses are indicating that the disciples' understanding of time, they just didn't get it. They didn't comprehend what Jesus was saying. And so even though the disciples were in this confusion, Jesus understood the situation. Jesus understood what they were going through, and he reached out to them, didn't he? In verse 19, it says, Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he confronted them. You know, and he said, is this what you're talking about amongst yourselves? You know, I see you. I'm not ignorant. I'm not blind. I can, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when somebody's talking about you behind your back and you're standing there and it's like, you know, I am right here. I can hear you kind of idea. You know, and that's what Jesus, he's like, you know, I'm right here. I hear what you're saying. You know, I understand you have questions. So, you know, let me help you. So how important, or what is the importance of asking questions? All right, to actually find out what they're thinking. Because often, it's really a misperception, isn't it? I mean, if you've ever confronted some, if you've ever been friends, or if you've ever had someone that, you know, was nice to you, and you just, you know, you were always, even if you were just acquaintances, but, you know, you always were cordial with each other, and then something changed. You know, in 32 years of ministry, it happens to me often. And, you know, and you end up confronting the other person, just, you know, hey, have I offended you? Did I say something, do something? You know, because I just don't feel like, you know, the relationship's the same. And often it's, well, you know, and they'll say something, you know, they'll answer me if they're honest. Sometimes, oh, no, everything's cool. And, you know, it's not. But when they're honest and say it, it's really often this, it was a misperception. Or it was something completely oblivious, you know, and or they, you know, well, somebody said that you said, and then it's like, okay, well, that was like three things removed, and that's, you know, this is what I really said, or this is what I meant by what I said, kind of idea. And so we need to go to the source, and we need to do that. All right, so why else are questions important?
Well, yeah. Spiritually, it's like the proverb says, lean not on your own understanding, yeah. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths, make your paths straight, whatever translation. But yeah. Jesus was waiting to make their paths straight.
Right, yes.
But they were yak, themselves, leaning on their own understanding.
Right.
We do the same thing.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Chris?
I would like clarification so then I can take steps based on their answer. Because sometimes if I just think I know what somebody's talking about and they expect me to do, I may not do it because I don't understand it clearly. So asking questions gets you to really understand what's on that person's mind so then you can go forward from that point.
Exactly. Okay. So it really solidifies the intent, the expectation, and clarify so you feel good about what you're getting ready to do. Malcolm.
I was thinking about, as a man, I know that I don't listen very well, but when you ask a question, that indicates that you have a willingness to hear what's going to be said.
Okay.
It's not just the fact that you're asking a question, it's shows that you're humble enough to, be, to receive what's.
Okay, so the humility in asking the question and just the interest in being willing to receive an answer and figure out what the other person thinks. Anybody else? Did I lose my remote? There. All right, so what when we see we're in this state of confusion, you know, as Renee said, you know, Jesus does understand the situation, and Jesus does want to help. But again, what's the big if? The big if is, are we going to allow him to do that? You know, so that's the part that's on us. You know, we have to allow him to do that. And so this verses 16 through 19 really set the stage for our next set of verses here, starting verse 20, about the sorrow and future joy. And we'll jump into that next week. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you that we can learn from it. I pray that you would help us to be more willing to ask questions and to confront. And I know it's maybe confront's a harsh word, but we need to be willing to ask and to seek guidance or to ask for clarification, to ask when we perceive that things aren't quite right and just get that settled. We know that Scripture tells us that, you know, even if we feel as though some that we have offended someone, that we should go to them and be the stronger one to go and ask. You know, not just when we are offended, but if we think that we might have offended someone, then we should go and try to make amends and make that right. So help us to be more diligent in doing that. We pray that you'd bless in the service to follow. And again, bless our dads. In your name, amen.